to read to you from the book of Genesis while you're standing, chapter 5. And please keep that prayerful atmosphere and attitude as we look into the scriptures in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verse number 21. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just say this before we begin. I was in Mississippi last month. There was a gentleman, he was a denominational pastor, 93 years old, denominational pastor for many, many years. And he told our young 34-year-old apostolic pastor, he said, "I come to your church at night on Sundays because I get to hear a sermon." And Brother Flowers said, "Well, you get that at your church, don't you?" And he said, "We used to. Now we get speeches." Now, I'm not painting every denomination with a broad brush, but I am telling you this, unless we make room for the presence of God to come in our midst when and where, however He wants to, we will resort to just entertainment and speeches. But if His presence is here, He can change everybody. And He can heal every disease and forgive every sin and meet every need. I don't just want to get to the place where we come together for entertainment and speeches, but I want an encounter. I want a breakthrough. I want a move of God that changes us from the inside out. Oh, let it be, God. Let it be. Oh, let it be, Lord. Oh, let it be, God. Let it be. Oh. I'm going to try to get through this, and if we don't, then we don't. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. After he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. As I was laying out this series and planning for this year, I was planning on only hitting the all-star stories. There are so many blips on the radar in the book of Genesis about names and people. We'd be here in the first book of the Bible till the first part of 2028 if we were looking at every one of them. But there is one obscure name tucked away in four short verses in Genesis 5 that speaks far too loud for us to ignore, especially at this time in the history of our church. So I want to preach to you today from the story of Enoch and about his walk with God. Every one of us needs a walk with God. Let's pray and let's ask the Lord right now that He would speak to us. Jesus, I love You. God, speak today. Your presence is so powerful right now. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the holy presence of God right now. I pray, help me, Lord, not to say or do anything out of order, not to say or do anything that would jeopardize the moving of the Spirit. Rather, help me today, Lord, to cast a vision for our church. Help us, God, take us farther than we've ever been before in our walk with You. I ask You, Jesus, to speak through me today and draw every one of us to an altar and a place where we will walk with You, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I thank You, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our lives got a lot brighter nearly 12 years ago. Andrew and I were youth pastor in Metro Orlando for 5 years. During that time, our family of two was about to become a family of three. On March 26, 2006, nearly 12 years ago, I can't believe time has gone so fast, God blessed us with our first baby girl, McKenna. By the time our last baby shower was over, we had three copies of What to Expect When You're Expecting. We expected a lot, expected life to change, but all the reading of the world, even reading all three copies of the same book, could not prepare us for how much life was going to change. And all this kind of hit me this last week when I was in Orlando. Driving through, I drove by the hospital where McKenna was born. I found out a little while after she was born, I found out that on the very same day, in the very same hospital, in the same city, in the in the state of Florida, Dallas Fitzwater, was getting ready to meet the Lord. His name may not mean much to you, but Dallas Fitzwater was the pastor of a small country church in the southern hills of West Virginia, and he discipled my mom and dad and baptized them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God has an amazing way of making such a massive world so small. And this is not in my notes, but I just want to say it, especially for our Sunday school teachers. Dallas Fitzwater may have never thought he was very, very successful. He only pastored a very small church, never a mega church by any standards, and probably not a very successful pastor by most standards. But in God's economy, in God's eyes, had he not discipled my mom and dad, I would not be here. And if I wouldn't be here, my kids wouldn't be able to be raised in church. So in my eyes, and I believe in God's, he was a smashing success. If you never see the fruit of your labors as you teach Sunday school or teach children's ministry or minister to our students, just know if you're being faithful to feed the sheep God has given you to feed in God's eyes, and one day possibly even in their own, you will be a smashing success as a Sunday school teacher. We left the hospital, we left with our little one, and we left with a crushing responsibility that now I am responsible for a little baby girl. So we did most of what parents would do, cover the outlets, some of them, bought the little sunshades for the car windows, made sure the car seat was secure every time we got in the car. There should be a college class on how to secure a car seat. We kept the glass and the glass cleaner and the chemicals and the scissors and the knives and the glue and the medicine, kept all of those things out of her reach. Life changed drastically when I became a dad, and it changed for Enoch too. I don't think he was really worried about rolling up the cords on his faux wood blinds, but something did change inside of Enoch. When he was 65, God gave him and Mrs. Enoch a bouncing baby boy. They named Methuselah, and something about that baby boy caused Enoch to start something and change his life for the better. The scripture says, after Methuselah was born, Enoch walked with God. Maybe he heard stories about the good old days when his great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam walked with God in the cool of the day, how peaceful, how wonderful it was just to walk with God. So Enoch realized, if I'm going to get anything right, I need to get this right. I need to walk with God. But Enoch lived in a day when very few, if any, others around him walk with God. By the time we get to learn about Noah next week, there may have been hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions. Some believe there could have been billions of people on earth because of how long they lived. God in Noah's day could not find 1,000 who walked with him. He couldn't even find 100 who walked with him. He could only find one. But somehow Enoch realized, my relationship with my family depends on my relationship with God. And so he started walking with God. This is so heavy on my heart, and I'm going to reach for our parents and grandparents again, just like I did last. You're going to teach your children anything, don't teach them just how to hit a ball to deep center. Teach your kids how to walk with God. Teach them how to read and study their Bible. Teach them how to walk with the Lord. Don't just take them to the bank and show them how to open up a checking account, but take them with you to the prayer room and show them how to pray. Take them with you to prayer meeting and show them how to talk with God and spend time with Him. Help them to drive by all means, but help them to walk with God. Dads, don't just teach your sons how to shave. Teach your sons how to pray. We need parents who are going to make it a value and a priority to teach their children to walk with God. Our kids need to see us and hear us pray. If they never see you walk with God, will they think it's important that they walk with Him? I said it last week, I'll say it again. They will do as you do, not as you say. So if you tell them to pray, but you don't pray, they will not pray. But if you tell them to pray, and then you yourself pray, most likely when they begin to walk with the Lord, they're going to pray just like you did. One of the greatest gifts you'll ever give your children will cost you nothing but your time. Teach them how to walk with God. If they followed your steps, would your steps lead them to walk with God, or would they lead them to just run out the door before ever walking with Him? They need to see you and hear you pray. You don't have to leave them an inheritance. They'll make it just fine without it, but you do have to leave them a legacy. Teach them how to pray. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day, but it had been a long time since there was a high priority placed on walking with God. But even if Enoch was the only one, Enoch walked with God. It was so important that he was willing to be the only one if he needed to be. You might be the only one on your street. You may be the only one in the plant. You might be the only one in class who walks with God. Walk with Him anyways. The world does not need another student or another man or another woman who wants to be just like them. They need some people, Spirit-filled, in Jesus' name, baptized, to live to be just like Him. They need a people to walk with God, to show them how to walk with Him. One scholar said he believes Abraham prayed early in the morning, Isaac prayed at midday, and Jacob prayed in the evening. We know Jesus was up and praying before the sun was up. It really doesn't matter when you pray. It just matters that you pray. Some of us are morning people. We wake up to wake the sun up. Our mantra, our motto, our theme is awaken the dawn. Where are my morning people? You're a morning person. Where are you? The world does not like us at all. I was going through the airport in Atlanta this past Friday morning, early in the morning, walking through the airport whistling. You'd be amazed at how many people wished I had not been in the terminal at the same time they were early in the morning. Most of the world is not real fond of us. But if you're a morning person, then get up early in the morning. That's your best time of the day anyways. Find a place to get alone with God and walk with Him. Before you go on Facebook or Netflix or Snapchat or Instagram or check out the weather or the score, find a place to kneel and get alone with God and spend some time just walking with God. Some of us are night owls. Or better yet, I should say this. Some of you are night owls. Where are my night owls? Morning people, we got to be careful. There are more of them than there are of us. Once the family's gone to sleep and not a creature is stirring all through the house, not even a mouse, that's your time. That's when you shine. When the sun stops shining, you start shining. You're night owls. So after everybody's gone to bed, find a place to get on your knees before God and spend some time walking with Him. Whether you walk with Him in the morning or you walk with Him at night, somewhere during the day, you need to spend some time just walking with God. It's the greatest privilege we'll ever have in this life, is to walk with Him. If you're struggling to live for God, I would ask you, how is your walk with Him? Bishop has taught me this strategy. If you come and say you're struggling with an issue, I'm going to ask you, have you prayed about it? And if you tell me no, there's nothing I can do. If I had 10 degrees behind my name, there's nothing I can do for you if you haven't taken it first to the Lord. But if you come and say, have you prayed about it? I ask you, have you, and you say, yes, you have. Well, I think we can do something, because God's going to expect you to do what you can. Then He'll step in and do what you can't. I'm going to ask you, are you spending each day in prayer? Are you walking with God? And our daily walk with God, it needs to be more than just chores on a checklist. It should be the greatest privilege we ever have in this life, is to walk with God. Have an audience and talk with the Almighty God. We learned about Him early on, about how He created the universe with incredible detail and infinite wisdom and creativity. And yet He opens the door for us to have an audience with Him, and we can talk with Him. And wonder of wonders, He will talk with us. Many in Scripture set apart a place and a time where they would walk with God. And I understand everybody can't make it to the sanctuary every day, and that's fine. That's why you need to make your home a sanctuary, a place where you can spend time with the Lord. It could be your bedside early in the morning, or a recliner in the living room late at night. Wherever it is, whenever it is, all of us need a time and a place to go just to walk with God. And I know there are days where the alarm clock doesn't ring, or the phone does, and everything gets thrown off. I understand that, but those are not every day. And even during that day, and especially during that day, we still need to find a place to seek after God and talk with Him. It was so valuable to Enoch. It was the only testimony he left his son Methuselah. It was a legacy of a legendary walk with God. I could ask every one of us, what do you know about Enoch? And most of us, the very best we could tell you is, all I know is he walked with God. That's a great legacy. If nobody ever says I was a great preacher or a great teacher or a great writer, but they would say, I remember LJ. LJ walked with God. That's what I want my legacy to be. I don't want it to be about any oratory or any creativity, but I want it to be that I walked with God. You don't have to be the brightest or the smartest. You just have to have a walk with God, just to love Him, just to walk with Him, just to want to know Him. That's the legacy I want. Churches that were a people who walk with God. A few years ago, somebody prophesied that there would be a generation who would praise a God they would not pray to. What an indictment And I know I preach to apostolic Pentecostals. We love to praise and worship, and we ought to, and we should never, ever lose our fervor and fire in praise and worship. We love to feel the presence of God move on us and causes us to jump and dance and run on Sundays. But when there is no music and there are no goosebumps, do you still want to walk with Him on Monday? Do you want more than just praise Him on Sunday? But is there anybody in the house who hungers to walk with Him on Monday? I don't just want to lift my hands here, but I want to bend my knees at home, and I want to spend some time in the presence of the Lord. Believe me, you're not going to feel like it. You'll feel like jumping and dancing and running here today, but on Monday morning at 6:30 or 7, you're not really going to feel like walking with Him. That's when we press past our feelings, and we get into a desire and a hunger that I want to walk with Him, whether I feel like it or not. I want to get alone with God and spend time with the Lord. We're fighting battles in our day I never thought we would fight. We're facing giants I never thought we would face. And the only way to win those battles and fail those giants is to seek after the One who can win those battles and fail those giants for us. We need a walk with God. And the only way we'll have the power of God is to walk with Him and spend time with Him. If you're fighting anxiety, then pray. If you're fighting fear, then pray. If you're fighting stress and worry, Paul would say, pray. Don't be anxious for anything, but everything, take it to God with supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. It's not the will of God for His church to be anxious and worried and stressed and fearful, but it is His will that His church is powerful. The only way to be powerful is to be prayerful, and the only way to be prayerful and powerful is to walk with God. Now, I'm not a fan of just walking. When we were in Prague over the summer, we walked close to 75 miles over the course of 10 days. Not a fan of just walking. So I keep this figure. But I love to ride my bike. When the weather breaks, Brother Denny, we're going to go on the trail. We're going to ride together when the weather breaks. I'm a fair weather rider. 27. No, it's not happening. Not a fan of windburn either. All right, well, God bless you. I'm a morning person who likes fair weather rides. But I do, I love to ride my bike. I love to go down the trail. Something that amazes me at the trail, though, I'm zipping around the trail 12 to 14 miles an hour on my bike. There are walkers on the trail who were there the last day, and they're going to be there the next day, and they're there today, walking down the trail. It's not glamorous, but it's beautiful. When's the last time you ever heard somebody brag about walking a 20-minute mile? Anybody who watched the Olympics, you know there were no grannies who were given gold medals for walking the most day in Pyeongchang. There are no accolades for walking. When I cycle down the trail, though, I pass some of the same people in the morning, every morning, who walk every day. Nobody applauds them. Nobody stands at the finish line and pats them on the back when they stroll across. They could skip a few mornings here and there, and nobody would ever care. Nobody would ever know. Nobody meets them at the car door and congratulates them for a walk well walked. I don't even know why they're there. Except maybe they just love to walk. Or maybe somebody who knows their heart better than they do told them, if you'll walk, it's good for your heart. We don't walk with God for the medals, the congrats, the pats on the back. We don't walk with God just because we want His power or to check a box on our spiritual chores. We don't walk with God to make our pastor happy or just to keep God from being unhappy. We walk with God because we love Him and we love to spend time every day with Him. As I opened up this year, I told us the secret to us being the church God wants us to be is being a praying church. Finding 70 people who will be willing to pray every day for our church. Finding 70 who will commit to walk every day just to talk with God and ask Him for His blessing on our church. Being a church family made up of families who make it a priority to pray every day. If that's not where we are right now, it is where we are headed. We don't just pray on Sundays at 5:30. We pray every day because we want to and we need to spend time with God. That's what Enoch did. Day after day, he walked with God. When he was home, he walked with God. When he was in a hotel room on a business trip, he walked with God. On the weekdays, he walked with God. On the weekends, he walked with God. And I'm sure there were days Enoch would rather have gotten up early to get a jump on the day. That half hour, maybe that hour he spent with God, he could have spent some time planting a few more crops or shearing a few more sheep, getting some more work done, making a few more bucks. But Enoch understood his legacy. He would pass on to Methuselah. Would not be his farm or his flock. That might be his inheritance, but that would not be his legacy. His legacy would be his walk with God. You could run the greatest company that makes Amazon look like an online mom and pop shop. The only thing that will matter on that day will be your walk with God each day. We have no idea how much Enoch had in the bank, how many flocks were on his farm, how many crops were in his fields. Here's all we know about him. Enoch walked with God. That was his testimony, and that's what wrote him into Holy Writ. So when the writer of Hebrews was looking for a reason to give Enoch entrance into the Hall of Fame of faith, he could have easily passed him over. There are four verses in Genesis 5 that tell us who he was and what he did. Enoch never felled a giant, never parted an ocean, never spent the night with lions and lived to tell about it. All Enoch did, hear me, mom and dad, all Enoch did is walk with God, and it was enough. You don't have to be the greatest, brightest, smartest, richest. You just need a walk with God and pass that legacy on to your children and your grandchildren. What do you want your legacy to be? If Jesus tarries his coming and you pass from this life, what do you want your friends or your family or your pastor to stand in front of the church and say about you? Do you want them to brag about your business or your three-point shot or your seven-layer cake or the house you built with your bare hands? Or do you want them to honor your memory by the way you honored your God and the way you walked with Him? Would you stand? On Sunday mornings, we're teaching the same Bible story in the adult classes we are in all the other classes. We've synced them up. We do that for a reason. We do that so when you get home on Sunday afternoon and you're sitting around the table with your family, or you go out to Allison's or wherever and you're sitting around the table with your family, or heaven forbid Fiesta, you're sitting around the table with your family, you can look across the table at them and say, what did you learn this morning? And they'll tell you today what we learned about David and how he sinned, but God was gracious and confronted him with his sin. And you can talk about that story with your family. I know we could talk about the Buckeyes, or we could talk about the weather, or we could talk about the stores, we could talk about the sales, but what really is going to matter in eternity is how much we as a family and church family spent time talking about God and about His Word. So this afternoon, when you get wherever you're going to go for your lunch, talk with one another about what you learned in Sunday school. Often, that's one of the best ways we're going to grow in our relationship with God and with each other, is by just talking about Him and His Word. I love the stories about little Sunday school kids and how they hear lessons. I mentioned last week that very few had heard of the Cain and Abel story. Well, there's one girl who learned a story about Enoch in Sunday school, and she got home. Her mom said, tell me all about this guy named Enoch you learned about. And he said, oh, well, Enoch, every day God came to his house and said, hey, Enoch, you want to go for a walk with me? So every day Enoch would get up and he would walk with God. And each day he would walk with him just a little bit further than the last day. And one day they had walked so long and so far. They had been out so long it got dark, and Enoch was so far from his house that God told him, Enoch, we're a lot closer to my house than yours. Why don't you just come home with me? And Enoch went home to God's house. That's how she told the story. You know, one of these days, the way we're going to get here to his house, it's not going to be just sprinting through this life. It's not going to be soaring with wings like eagles through this life. It's going to be one step in front of the other, one day after another, and just walking with God. And then one of these days, whether through the trumpet or through the grave, we're going to hear the voice of God say, you've walked a long time. You're a lot closer to my house than yours. Why don't you just come home with me? I want to make sure I'm walking walking every day with the Lord. Would you lift your hands right now? God is moving. He's bringing conviction into this house. God's helping us reprioritize some things and realize some things really aren't as important as we thought they were. If anything has ever eclipsed Him or taken His rightful place as number one in our life, we're going to put those things down and put them down at an altar. We're going to commit to walk with the Lord each day. I love you, Jesus. Oh, I ask you to get a hold of our hearts this morning, Lord. I want to be a man who will walk with you. I want to be one who will spend time, Lord, each day. Help me, I pray, every day to walk with you. Help me, Lord, not only for my own soul, but for the sake of my family. Help me, Lord, to walk with you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, God. I love you, God. Today we're not coming to the altar to beg God for anything. We're just coming to walk with Him. You don't have to be able to pray professional prayers. You don't have to pray King James prayers. Just pray from the honesty and the earnest of your heart. God, I want you. I want you to be first in my life. I want to put you first. If I've put anything ahead of you, if I have sought anybody or anything before I have sought you, forgive me, God. I want to walk with you. If you want to walk with the Lord, that's the only prerequisite for you to come to the altar this morning, is you just want to walk with God. Would you join me at this altar? The front of the church we call the altar, and it's a place where we come and we spend time with God. We talk to Him about what He has been talking to us. So if you want to walk with the Lord, would you come join me at this altar? If there's not room here, make an altar where you're standing or seated. And let's just spend some time committing to walk with the Lord. Every day, God, I want to walk with you. Every day, Jesus. Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.